If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Byers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. Whether you're hunting the back 40 or chasing game deep in the backcountry, the all-new Razor Guide Pack from Outdoor Edge has it all. Coming in at only 12 ounces and in a premium wax canvas roll pack for compact storage and travel, the Razor Guide Pack is 7 blades in total, including a 5-inch replaceable blade folding knife, a 3-inch replaceable blade caping knife, and the flip and zip saw for wood or bone. For more information, visit OutdoorEdge.com.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And this episode released on Black Friday. So if you are a man, I mean, heck, you could be a woman. I don't care who listens to this podcast. Sitting in a car or on a bench waiting for your wife to go do some shopping thing and she felt like it was a good idea to involve you in this day. I hope that this episode brings you a little joy, right? So just keep grinding it out and stick with it. And then at the end of the day, you can drink yourself to sleep if that's in fact what you need to do to forget about Black Friday shopping. I can remember years ago going on one Black Friday where I was just like, you know what? It can't be that bad. Let's go on a Black Friday little day date or trip. And it was, to this day, maybe one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my life. So congratulations for toughing it up, gentlemen, if you're out there trying to build some kind of brownie points. Or, you know what? You could be hunting. So if you're hunting right now, good luck. And today, we're going to be joined by Brett Conan, and we're going to talk about, this is just a very simple episode, products that throughout the years we have become very confident in. What gets us to the point where we're confident in a product, how we deem whether or not something is, Brett takes this term, proven, right? And once something is proven, then we can be confident in it. And so it's just a really good episode about products that we're confident in. And it's, I like this episode. I had fun recording it. All right. So I'm not going to do too much BS in here. I'm just going to get right into the podcast, but we got to do the commercials first. First and foremost, if you're looking for a hunting app, look no further than HuntStand. HuntStand allows you to document all of your outdoor hunting adventures by marking where you see deer, organizing your trail camera pictures, scrapes, rubs, tree stands, trail cameras, trails, beds, creek crossings, all that stuff, right? And ultimately, it becomes a journal for you to reference when you go out and hunt, and all that data that you've collected is just, it's basically allowing you to use that information to forecast for the next time that you're out. Now, recently, HuntStand has upgraded to a pro whitetail platform. They have a little upgrade option. And so what you can do is you can go in there, go to huntstand.com, read up on all the new functionality with this pro whitetail platform. I think they have some newer maps. They have some forecasting data that's in there. They have a rut time, like a rut map, and then just a whole bunch of other really cool functionality for like a serious whitetail hunter. And so huntstand.com, go check it out. If you're looking for a saddle, go check out Tethered. Not only does Tethered have the saddle, the platforms, the climbing sticks, and all the saddle hunting accessories that you need, but they also have a very deep stable of content that you can reference, I guess you would say, in order to learn, shorten the learning curve, and become better educated on how to become a better saddle hunter, how to use it properly, tips, tricks, shortcuts, tactics, mods, things like that. There's a lot of really cool information. So if you're looking for a saddle, go check out Tethered. And then last but not least, it's that time. I mean, it's that time in life, or I don't even know, like, it's just popular to document your hunts, right? Whether you take a video camera in the tree, or you use something like a Tacticam on your bow, or in the tree, or on your gun, a Tacticam allows you to document your hunts, so that way you can go back, show your kids, show your uncle, show your non-hunting friends, and I think my favorite is to show somebody that you did see a buck, and it was as big as you said it was. So they have a new 6.0 version that just came out. And so it has image stabilization. It has an LCD screen, 4K. It truly is badass. So if you're looking for an action camera that can be mounted to your gun or bow, go check out Tacticam. And I think that's it. Yep, my paper says that's it. And let's get into today's, I guess, Confident Products Hunting Gear Podcast episode. Enjoy. All right, on the phone with me today, Mr. Brett Conan. Right? Did I say your name
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Conan.
Yep.
Like Got Conan, it. Like Conan the Destroyer.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Are you the Destroyer?
Just the killer.
There we go. You just kill some shit, and but you don't kind of like, you don't try to take over the entire woods.
No, not okay. At all.
All right. So, welcome to the Hunting Gear Podcast, and we're going to get into the hunting gear and equipment here in a second. But dude, you laid down a giant this year.
Yeah, I got a new piece of property this year, and I had pictures of a deer that was bigger than him that I found out the day that I shot that one that he got killed 2 weeks prior. So
yeah,
then it was then it was everything for that one.
Yeah. What state do you live in?
Kansas.
Kansas. Okay, man. That's a state that I think I'm going to be hunting for the first time the 2023 season. So I'm looking forward to, getting out there and seeing what Kansas has to offer. It sounds like it's a pretty badass state to hunt.
There's a booner behind every tree, right?
Just like Iowa. Just like Iowa, right? Right? Man, I wish that was the case, because my wall would look a lot better than what it does now if that was the case.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Same.
All right. So, and actually, we're going to schedule, after this, we're going to schedule another interview with you on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast to discuss your success in the woods this year, but we're going to talk about hunting gear and equipment right now. So I'm going to ask you a very high level question right now.
Okay.
All right. About the hunting gear and the equipment that you use every single year. When it comes to making a decision on what piece of equipment you're going to buy or the amount that you want to spend on something, what does that decision look like for you?
So the biggest thing for me is it proven?
Okay.
Has it been proven throughout the industry that it works? Money, this is my main hobby. So the money aspect, if it's a proven product that I've seen work time and time again, then I'm going to spend the money on it.
Okay. Define proven to me. What's that look like for you?
So you've got the proven killers throughout the industry, whether it's Levi Morgan or yourself or the Drurys. And then I go into, after I see them use it, then I go in and start researching, is it going to fit into my style of hunting? Because I don't have, all the acres in the world. I've got small tracks that I can hunt, and I just pick the ones that I can put into my personal hunting experiences.
Right. Okay. So including myself, right. We know that, I'm just going to use Wasp broadheads for a second because I have one sitting right in front of me. Right. I get paid by Wasp to say good things about their product. Right. And talk, talk about it just like the Drurys do, just like Levi Morgan does. All right. Mm-hmm. So once someone like myself or them starts talking about it, do you think hey, well, these guys are paid to say that, then how does that go into your decision-making as well?
I mean, you guys are paid to say that, but at the same time, you guys are only going to use that product if you believe it works and you see that it works.
Okay.
And, I've bought several different broadheads over the years, and I've gone with about every one you can think of.
Yeah.
And I personally keep coming back to, and have been using for the last probably 7 years now, Schwacker.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we have, you look to the proven killers, like you said, to bring the products to light. And then you go in and do your own research, right? What does your what does your personal research look like as far as what are you researching to determine whether a product is good or not?
So I'll look at the specs of it, and then I read all the reviews from people, and then I'll go out and buy whatever product it is and test it in the field myself.
Okay.
The biggest one I can say this year that I started using, and I was leery of because I'm not a gimmicky kind of guy. I don't like all the artificial stuff.
Yep.
But Nose Jammer.
Yeah, dude.
I started using that this year, and I had 5 different hunts where I had deer all around me all evening long, and it just... They smell it. Don't get me wrong, but they lift their head up and they'll sniff around for a few minutes and then they just go back about their business.
Yeah.
It was insane how well that worked for me.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy, man? And it is, it did kind of start out as a, a gimmicky product when they first came to light. Like, here, spray this on you, yourself, and on your tree, and they won't know. I actually interviewed the owner, the previous owner of it. I'm not sure if he still owns the company or not, on how it works, the science behind it, and the fact that I guess what he told me was that if you walk into a bar, I don't know how old you are, but back in the day, you could walk into a bar and they allowed cigarette smoking in a bar, right? You'd walk in and it's just, whoom, this heavy, heavy smell of cigarettes. But by the time the night goes on, you're not smelling cigarettes anymore because your brain has balanced out your nose, right? So it's an initial overwhelming of scent and vanilla that gets into the deer, and so that with the idea that they're not smelling anything else except the vanilla, and so, or that the nose jammer. And so, dude, I'll be honest with you. I've seen it work too, man. And I'm a nose jammer guy. Right. And
yeah,
I don't know about here. I'd like to hear your opinion on this, but it's funny how we try to be as scent free as possible and then spray that shit all over our bodies and tree and bow and everything.
Oh yeah. It's insane how the measures that we take, you know, washing our clothes and putting it in a tote that never gets touched besides when you get out of the truck to hunt.
Yeah.
And then you go spray something that smells like you got it from your wife's cabinet in Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever Bath Body Works.
It's just like a scented candle, taking a scented candle into the woods with you, right?
It's like the first time I sprayed it, I was like, I think I just made a big mistake, but it worked.
Right. All right. So for me, I sprayed on my boots and clothing, and like I load myself up with it before every hunt. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I don't spray it on the trees. I think they recommend bringing it into the woods with you as well and spraying it at the base of the tree and then once more at the top of the tree. How do you use it?
So I spray it from about knees down. So that way anything I touch going in will smell like that.
Yeah.
And then I did take it in the tree, and if I've got deer going to my downwind side, I will spray it before they get there and just kind of let that mist go right over top of them. And it worked great this year.
Oh, so you see them coming, you think there's a chance they get downwind, and then you'll let a little bit of it out.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I've done that before too. So you are a believer in nose jammer.
Yes.
Like you would recommend it to your buddies and to the listeners right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I never would have thought it, but yes, after using it this year, it's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. I use it every year, and I even use it a little bit out west. I don't carry it with me the whole day, but right before my hunts, I'll spray, you know, before I leave the truck or leave the tent, I'll spray some down with me. I don't know. I like it. Do you use any other scent-free products or I don't know, like ozone or any other, like, I don't know, cover sprays or scents or anything like that?
I'll use the scent elimination sprays, you know, for the rest of my gear.
Yeah.
My backpack and hat and all that and all my camo. And then at the very end, then I spray that nose jammer from the knees down.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But have you ever used ozone before?
I have one time. I borrowed a buddy's Ozonix.
Yeah.
And I used it in a ground blind, and I didn't really have deer come downwind of me, so I didn't notice if it worked or not.
Yeah.
I've got several buddies that use it and swear by it, but I haven't bought one yet.
Yeah. I think the real benefit for me with ozone is, yes, in the tree, I've seen it perform very well. Not as well this year for some reason. I think a lot of it had to do with inconsistent winds, but I've seen it perform very well in the tree. But I think where ozone really shines is in the clothing cleansing portion of it. And so... Okay. For me, I have an ozone bag or an Ozonix bag and an Ozonix. Mm-hmm. And then after every hunt, or before. So after every hunt, I'll hang it in this little, I guess you'd call it a closet, zip it up, yep. run a cycle, go to bed, whatever. And then right before I wake up, I turn it on and I, you know, like brush my teeth and get ready. Mm-hmm. And then while that's running. And so it runs another cycle. And dude, I'm telling you, with a fresh cycle of ozone on your clothes and that nose jammer on my boots walking into the stand, I feel like my access routes are just like, I feel invisible at times. Like I can smell it, the ozone on my clothing, and I'll spray it down. I feel invincible. I feel like I'm getting away with murder, literally, on that
setup. And that's what we strive for.
Exactly. Absolutely. You're 100% right. And so, I don't know. I just talked about this on another podcast about the hunting gear and equipment, and it's about feeling confident in your setup and your process, right? And yep. and so outside of nose jammer, are there any other products that you can think of, like just the very first product that pops into your mind that you're very confident in?
The next thing I would say I'm confident in is the extinguisher grunt call.
Okay.
And the black rack.
The black rack.
It works.
Okay.
So just this last weekend, my brother is working on trying to get his first buck.
Okay.
And he wanted me to go out with him and change batteries in a camera and fill a feeder up. And I told him, bring your crossbow, you know, we're going to sneak into this property first and see if we can't get anything stirred up.
Okay.
And we get set up by a little cedar tree and some timber, and I start rattling and going through a grunt sequence. And within 3 minutes, we've got probably a mid 140s 10 that has his ears pinned back and is just coming in on a string. Yeah. And called him all the way into 11 yards. He circled downwind of us and he didn't get a shot. And so, you know, I'm kind of bummed. Got a deer 11 yards and didn't get a shot. And then all of a sudden we hear a grunt. And so I go back to calling and I get set up on the side of the tree that he's on this time. And I'm going through that same sequence. I'm rattling and then I start scraping the ground and rustling the leaves like I'm making a scrape. And I hear something directly behind us walking straight to us. And I get another buck, probably, you know, 120s, 130s, 10. And call him to 8 yards. And we're just set up on the ground. And he couldn't get a shot when he was at 8 yards, but he did end up getting a shot at 27 and hit him low and didn't have a lethal shot. But having those two products there, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to have them sub 10 yards without them.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. And that right there is, it's again, a confidence builder. When you can repeat something, and this year I had I talk about this all the time. I had the same grunt tube for 12 years. Okay. And I ended up losing it. Fell out of my backpack walking in and out on an old property a handful of years ago. And so then I went to a Gander Mountain and I started taking all of the package. Like I took the grunt tubes out of all these packages and I was blowing on it. People must have thought I was crazy. And then this like teenager who was like a part-time jobber came up to me and he's like, I don't think you're supposed to take those out of the packages. And I just looked at him and he turned around and walked away. I was like, I'm doing this, buddy. All right. You're not going to stop me. And so
how do you know if it's going to be the one that you want if you can't test it out?
Exactly. Exactly. And so I ended up, man, going through like, I want to say 10 different grunt calls and ended up going with, some bone collector one that sounded the most like this. And that's the one I still have today. But dude, there is nothing better than having a buck in the distance kind of cruise by you that's out of shooting range and you hit him with the and they stop. Yep. They don't want to come, but they get so curious that they turn and they come your way. That is, dude, I love doing that.
That's what it's all about to me.
Yeah.
Being able to manipulate the deer into that bow range.
Oh yeah.
It's second to none.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so I carry rattling antlers with me, like shed antlers. Mm-hmm. What is it about the black rack specifically that you like?
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius. Live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
It's, to me, it was easier to carry.
Okay. I'll give you that.
And, you know, the rattling antlers, I probably should have just cut the brow tines off.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time tearing up a good shed antler.
Yeah.
And so I got tired of smashing my thumbs when it was super cold out and you're rattling and you smash your thumbs about 5 times.
That's a fact.
It's like, no, we're going to find something else.
Right. So I'm going to say this for everybody right now who's listening to this. If you've never smashed your thumbs or your fingertips while rattling, you are not rattling hard enough.
Correct.
That's funny. All right. Yeah, man. When it comes to like the rattling antlers, I've been able to cut the brow tines off a couple of them, but they're on properties that I no longer have permission to hunt. So I know I'll never be able to use those sheds in like killing a deer or a mount situation. Right. So anyway, And so you were saying about the black rack, it's easy to carry. Like, do you feel it sounds like what else about it that you like?
Just the ease of it. And then I feel like it sounds just like, I mean, I've probably called in 5 deer that I've shot with them.
Yeah.
For myself, for my kids and other family members, and just being able to have that confidence in that is where it's at for me.
Right.
You know, I could do the same thing with shed antlers, but I've had that black rack now for probably the last 8 or 9 years. And it's just one of those things that it's strapped to my backpack. And as soon as I get in the tree, it goes on the branch and just it's there.
Yeah. There used to be a product. I don't know if they make it anymore. I'm sure they do. But it was a little device that you would clip to maybe your belt or your waistline or a pocket. And then it was two pieces. And so you could make the rattling sound with one hand. You know, because right now, if I want to rattle, I have to take two hands, you know, and if a deer comes in hard and fast, then I have to set it down, grab my bow. That's not very efficient. And this little thing was able to make the noise, and then you would just set it. I think it was a magnet or a Lego piece almost, to where you would just clip it back in, and then you had your hand free again.
Was it the Nightingale?
Could have been.
I think.
Yeah.
You kind of crunch them together.
Yeah. Could have been.
Yep. I think I've seen them. I've never used one. And I've had them come screaming in on me, you know, you don't have time, but more times than not, I've been able to, which in Kansas, it's pretty wide open. So I can usually see them coming from quite a ways off.
Yeah.
And, then I can get set up and ready. I've had a couple times where they were on me before I knew it, but
yeah. Absolutely. All right. Let's see here. Black rack, the extinguisher grunt call. By the way, if you were one of my buddies, I used to talk about this a long time ago about like gimmicky products. And I always felt like the black rack was a gimmicky product. And so I would tease my buddies who would buy the black rack. I'm not going to tease you because you're,
hey, you know, bring it on.
you kill giants with it and it works. Right. So, And so I don't know. I just always, like when I played rugby, if there was a guy who would wear a scrum hat and it's like a basically a leather covering, we would tease them, you know, call them pussy because they would, you know, they were sissies, right? Like that. So just I'm not calling you a sissy or anything like that. I'm just saying I used to tease people about buying back black racks.
You can call me a sissy all you want because I don't like smashing my thumb.
Exactly.
So I am kind of a sissy.
That's all right. Hey, I watch this. Next year I'll be talking about how I used a black rack in the tree in 2023.
Come to Kansas, we'll black rack it together.
There you go. What's the next product that you've used over the years, or maybe it's brand new that you've gained confidence in?
Victory arrows.
Okay.
So I've got the, tack vanes.
Yep.
And I've got them four fletched.
Yep.
And man, it's a confidence builder. Just being able to know that you're going to hit your spot.
Yes.
100% in the summertime, I practice out to 80 and 100 yards. That way during season, I know, you know, 40, 50 and in, it looks like the bullseye is 5 feet around.
Right. Isn't that awesome? Like it's an awesome feeling just having confidence in the flight of your arrow out of your bow. Right. And when you take those extra steps to really focus on the tuning of it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what is your total arrow weight come out to roughly when you have your, like you said, you use Schwacker broadheads?
Yep.
Schwacker, yep. The four fletches and your arrow.
It's around 440.
440. Okay. All right. Yeah. And so I have a similar setup to you. In the past, when I jumped to, try to get a heavier arrow, right? There was, there was a year where I was going through, there was a period where every year I bought different brands of arrows to try to find what I wanted. I mean, I went through the Full Metal Jackets, the Easton Full Metal Jackets, Easton Access. That's one when the heavier ones of those. There was a year where I went Carbon Express, and I got the heaviest
one. You sound just like me.
Yeah. And so then I landed on a company. When I originally saw the company, it was an Australian company, Zeller Arrows. Since then, they have changed. It's the similar arrow. The company's been bought and rebranded to Day Six. And here's what I like. In my opinion, it's just superior, right? And okay. So I have a four fletch. Comes with the Day Six fletchings, four fletched. My total arrow weight is 524, and then I put the Wasp jackhammer broadhead on the front of it, so my total arrow weight is 524. And so then I think the most important step for me was I have this crowbar basically with a broadhead on the front of it that I'm throwing downrange. I need to have my bow tuned properly. And so the arrow, I know it's going to do its job because it's weighted properly. I needed to match that to my bow. So I took the extra step of taking it in, tuning it up. And then you get out there and watch that arrow fly. And it's just like, oh dude, something is going to die in like 5 months. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yep. So, so then with your arrow, I mean, it sounds to me like you went through a progression of trying to find what fit you. Do you do that with a lot of your arrows or not arrows per se, but a lot of your gear where you'll cycle through something until you find something you like, or are you the guy who likes to experiment every single year, regardless if something works?
No, once I find something that works, I pretty well stick to it. Yeah. And then if it fails me, then I might start looking. But, I mean, I shot Carbon Express, the Maximus, for quite a while. And then I noticed they were, you know, just even target shooting, and anytime I shot a deer, it seemed like they were brittle and broke.
Yeah.
And so.
And so
I went on the move again.
Yeah. And what would happen? How does this work for you? Maybe you've had to go through this. Maybe you haven't, where you've been using a product quite a while and then something happened and you're like, you start to question that product. And maybe it's a bad blood trail or a bad hit, or I don't know. For example, sometimes on a different grunt tube that I had used in the past, when it would get cold out, if I blew in it, it would sound like a kazoo instead of a deer, right? And so I'm like, okay, this is great, but then when it freezes, this doesn't work anymore. So I have to find something. You know, it sounded great. Yep. In October, early November, but if I'm trying to grunt in mid-November, I'm toast, right? So what's that look like for you?
So I used to shoot fixed blade broadheads, and I wasn't getting the blood trail that I liked. Okay. And I felt like just for the what I was doing, you know, it's all about shot placement and all that, but for some of the shots that I had, I felt like the deer were going further than they should have.
Okay.
And not having as good of a blood trail as I had in the past. And so then that's when I went back to Schwacker, and I got cheap 1 year, and somebody had given me Rage Hypodermics to try out. And I shot two deer with those, lost both of them, and I was like, nope, I'm sticking with Schwacker, and I won't change just because I've had the success with them.
Yeah. Rage is an interesting product that you bring up, because there are on this podcast, or people that I talk to just in passing, and the brand Rage comes up. And Rage is one of those brands and has a product that is just like, dude, I love my Rage broadheads. And equally as many people have shared stories with me about how much they hate them and that they will never use them again because they felt like it cost them a deer. Now, in Rage's defense, if that broadhead would have went through the lungs or the heart, game over.
100%.
Right. And so I just got done talking about this on a Instagram story that I did about why am I confident in Wasp broadheads? It's because of the marginal shots, right? So the true test of any broadhead is marginal shots, or when it hits bone, or, you know, if it's back in the guts, how much damage is it doing in those arenas? And that's where I gain confidence. That's where I gain confidence in Wasp, but nobody will ever know. Like if you drill lungs and heart every single time, you're not going to have, you're not going to have a clue what your broadhead is, if it's good or bad, because you've made great shots, but you put it back in the liver or in the shoulder. And now we start having these questions. Right. And so what was it about the Rage when you had those two bad and you know, those two bad shots or whatever it was? Were they good shots? Were they bad shots? Walk us through that.
So the first one, it was a marginal shot. One of those that hit, he was quartering away.
Yeah.
I thought he was about 23 yards. I didn't have time to range him. Thought he was 23. He ended up being about 27. So I hit him low. He bled like a stuck hog, but also at the same time, I mean, I tracked him for 3/4 of a mile, and then I had him on camera 3 days later. And that was 2 years ago, and I actually just got a picture of him again this morning. So he's still alive.
All right. So do you feel that if you had another head, like a different head, or maybe a Schwacker that you have now, and you hit that deer in the same spot that the Rage did, do you feel that that deer – would have killed that deer and you would have been able to recover it?
I can't say for certain, but I've got so much confidence in Schwacker now that, you know, it's one of those things that that if I lose, let the arrow go, I feel like it's going to kill it.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. All right. And then what was your next bad experience with the Rage?
I had a full frontal shot and I hit him absolutely perfect. I couldn't have dreamed it up any better. And I had very, very minimal blood and tracked him for quite a ways. And then that very next morning, I had pictures of him coming right back to the feeder. And it was like, huh, okay. So
he just got shot and then got hungry?
Yeah, I guess. I can't explain that one. I still have no idea.
How much penetration do you think you got on that shot?
I had full penetration. It hit right in the throat and went down out the bottom. It was a blood soaked arrow. And for whatever reason, I mean, it was in the middle of the rut. And
yeah. Well, it sounds to me like it didn't hit any main arteries or like,
no.
Were you in a tree?
I was on the ground. I actually spot and stalked that one.
Yeah. So was there bone deflection, you think, where it hit something and then
probably
went straight down?
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing happened.
Yeah. Because I've seen videos of guys shooting, I think it was a Rage, it was a quartering away shot, and it hit a rib, deflected it out, and it went between the ribs and the skin. It didn't go into the cavity. And I'm not 100% sure if that was Rage or not, but
yeah,
I saw that video and have heard people saying that. The other thing that I have seen on camera is a guy, and hey, I'm going to say that I'm guessing a lot of people don't properly tune their bows to their arrows like they should. All right. They probably don't practice as much with their broadheads like they should. So this may not be a Rage issue, but I will say this. I've seen arrows just take off in a different direction with their heads on it, like planing. They call it planing, right? Where it's going right there. And then it's just like there's no wind or anything. And the arrow just goes and planes, like curveballs out of the picture. And I'm just like, what? Like, I will, and I don't know. Like I said, for every guy there that hates those Rages, there's another group of guys who love Rages and have had great success with them. So I'm not here to shit talk the company, but you know, that's just my experience with those heads.
Exactly.
So, all right. Broadheads and Schwacker. So you were telling me Schwacker, you have confidence in Schwacker. What was the experience that you had when you were just like, dude, I love these heads?
I shot a deer in the liver.
Okay.
And, you know, it was a 25-yard shot through some brush, and it was, at the time, my biggest deer. Hit him a little far back. He jumped out about 20 yards and just stood there, and you could just see the blood just pouring out of him. And then he just took off, and, you know, a liver shot usually takes a while, and he was dead within 80 yards.
Yes. Yep. I've had a liver shot like that in 2017 where he was complete broadside. It was a little right as I released, he took a step forward and I hit direct liver, probably both lobes of it, I believe, and passed through. He looped 40 yards around me and fell over dead, went dead and bled out, like just bled out that fast. And so, man, you put a good broadhead in the liver and it's going down.
Mm-hmm.
So good. So that was your Schwacker moment, so to speak.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
100%.
Cool. All right. Now let's talk about some other products that you're very confident in.
The next one I would say is my bow. Okay. I've shot several different ones, and I've got a Matthews VXR, and it just gives all the confidence in the world.
Yeah.
The first year I actually bought it was 2020, I think. And I ended up shooting my deer at 45 yards from the ground on my knees, not an ideal situation, and it just pinwheeled him.
Yeah.
So having that confidence in my bow, the arrow setup and everything else, and that year I actually switched to a thumb release.
Okay.
Over the wrist strap. And I feel like that's made a big difference in my release and not punching the trigger.
Yeah.
And really going through the mechanics of my shot.
Yeah. What do you think it is about? So you shoot a Matthews right now, right?
Yep.
Is this a bow that you're going to stick with for a while, or are you going to upgrade to, I don't know, they have this new phase 4 or whatever they're calling it out?
I think I'm going to stick with this one for a while. It is a shooter.
Yeah.
I usually stick with a bow 5-6 years, and then I get the itch for a new one.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, and if I do buy a new one, I'll probably just keep this one.
Yeah.
Because I do have so much confidence in it. Yeah. My last bow, I had a Hoyt, and the only reason I bought it is because I got a great deal on it. And I just never, it would just rattle the crap out of your hands.
Yeah. Was it
so
a carbon?
I ended up having to put a,
was
no,
it a carbon
wasn't.
Bow? No, okay.
No, it was the Nitram 30. And just rattled you. And so I put a long stabilizer on it, which helped a little bit, and just kind of got used to it. But then I got the itch and went and shot a Matthews, and I was like, this thing is completely dead in my hands.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing how, and I will say this, we have all these different products, all these different bow manufacturers in the archery bow hunting space.
Yep.
There is what I'm going to say is the middle ground. There's not really a garbage bow, in my opinion, a company.
Nope.
There's a, cause if with proper practice, you can go out and kill something with that. But, and I feel like every year those companies are gaining ground. Then we have what I would call the higher end bows. And so we have, Matthews, Bowtech, Elite, PSE now is starting to creep in on, like is in that. Hoyt is in that, I guess you would say. What's another brand that I'm missing here?
Prime,
yes. Prime is in that category. But then I feel out of those, there are three bows that are just superior to that. And in my opinion, it's Prime and Bowtech right now. After shooting the last Matt, like I've never used to be a Matthews fan until the last time I went to the ATA show and shot it, and I felt like it was much better than previous years, in my opinion. And so those three companies, I would say, the Prime Logic was one of my favorite bows of all time. And then something happened in that time frame from then to now that I don't like it as much. And again, this is personal preference here, because there was a time where I shot a lot of bows to test them out. PSE though is one of those brands that I never used to like, and it's
exactly
it's slowly creeped up into one of those categories where it's like, hey man, these guys are making some strides, and I like it.
I've heard the new ones are shooters.
Yeah. And my final two decisions for the last time I got a bow was a PSE and a Bowtech. And I ended up going with a Bowtech. Mm-hmm. And so, but when it comes to confidence now, dude, like I don't know if I'm 100% there yet, but Bowtech in the last handful of years has done some, in my opinion, some really cool things. And that bow fits me really well. And so I'm starting to, I'm not necessarily a brand loyal guy, but I do, I am currently very confident in the product lines that they're putting out. And so, man, I don't know. Like I'm sure there's other bows that are similar, but I'm kind of like, I'm feeling good about Bowtech right now. And so I think, I don't know if I'm going to upgrade this year or if I'm going to stay the same, but, the bow that I currently have is shooting better than I have, helping me shoot better more than I've ever shot before. And so, I don't know, take that how you want to take it.
Yeah, and finding the bow that fits you.
I mean, exactly.
Not everybody's going to like the fit of a Bowtech or a Matthews or a Hoyt. And then also, do you think the reason for your confidence in that bow is because you've taken the time to tune it, or just it's the bow?
That's a great point. I feel like, again, I said it earlier in the episode, people aren't taking the time to take that extra step and really do the cam timing. I think the cam timing plays a huge role in that. Maybe some paper tuning, to make sure your rest is on point, and then to make sure your arrow's coming out of the rest straight, and the rest just kind of falls into play. And so you have to tune it to match your arrow. And so I took, not this year, beginning of this year, but when I got the bow brand new, I took it to, and we did the whole thing. We did paper tuning. We did cam timing, and he put some extra twists, took some extra twists out, moved my peep sight where it needed to be. And before I bought my Bowtech, I was a 29 inch, like every bow I had was 29 inches.
Yep.
And every guy I ever went to said, "Hey man, this is, you're a 29 inch draw." I went to a brand new Bowtech, not Bowtech the brand, but a Bowtech at a shop. He saw me draw a 29 inch and he goes, "You're a 30. That's the first words out of his mouth. He's like, "You're too short. Your shoulders aren't back enough. And you look collapsed in on." And so I was like, okay, I had never shot a 30 inch before. And he puts me in a 30, and it's just like, holy shit. It just felt so much more comfortable. I felt like I was extended. And now I have that extra inch in my draw length, and now my arrows are performing even better. Right. And so, and so I felt confident. So yes, that's a great question. That is an excellent question, because I do like the draw cycle, the let off, the lack of hand shock in the Bowtech, but it's probably because I got it tuned properly, right? So in order to really test out bows, and this sucks because it takes a lot of time. If you were going, you would have to tune every bow that you shot to you. And that would just be almost impossible to do.
Yeah.
So how did you go about then, like every time you start to look at bows, how do you go about saying, all right, this is what I want? Or, do you always start with the same brand, or is there a check boxes that you have to check in order to be happy with your new pick?
I don't have a brand that I just go. We've got a pretty phenomenal local archery shop, and I'll just go in there and be like, I want to try out this bow. And so they'll set it up and I start firing arrows. And if I like it, great. If not, I go on to the next one.
Yeah.
And honestly, when I went in this last time, I was wanting I think it was the VXR 31 and a half is what it was. And they didn't have it. And so I went ahead and shot the 28, and I was like, holy smokes. I knew. And then that's what I ended up with, and then started tuning it and making sure everything was right. And when I do go buy a new bow, I make sure I set it up exactly how I want it, with the rest, the site, you know, everything that I want on it. So that way I, you know, I'm not skimping on anything.
Yeah. 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 I'm not going to consider myself brand loyal either, but, I just kind of go with what feels the best at that particular time. And, yep. You know, just so happened that, a handful of years it was prime, and then a handful, well, let me kind of go back. I'm trying to think, the very first ever bow I bought with my own money was a Bowtech Tribute. And then I shot that for a handful of years. And then I got into a bed with a company that made videos. And so their sponsor was, Elite. So I shot, you know, Elites for a handful of years, which is actually a really good bow. I really did like Elites back then. And then there's something about their draw cycle right now. It's not bad, but it's just off for me a little bit on the Elites.
Yeah.
Like, again, I haven't, since the ATA show's been canceled the last 2 years, I haven't been able to, or canceled 1 year. I was sick the next year. So I haven't been able to get out and shoot every bow like I had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
With that said though, a lot of great brands out there that make a lot of good bows, in just about every price point. And like I said earlier,
yes,
the bow manufacturers that I would consider middle of the road are now starting to make some really cool strides, into like just being better than what they were in the past. And one of those bows, I'm trying to think, it was Obsession. I think it was an Obsession bow.
Yes.
That I would, like, back in the day, I was like, yeah, this one sucks. But now it's like, holy cow, this is actually big strides for that company.
Yeah.
So, well, we've been talking for about 47 minutes and 30 seconds today. We had a really good BS session about, you know, what makes us confident. I appreciate your time. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Right now, are you pulled over on the side of the road or at a truck stop or something?
I'm pulled over on a dirt road right now.
Oh, perfect. Well, you got great reception. Thanks for taking time out of your day, and good luck the rest of the season, man.
Yep. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.